Hey, everybody, we're back with Flock and Gather. It's our 18-minute podcast. I'm Alan Scher. I run the Spa Industry Association, and we're going to make the leap over the pond today and talk with my good friend Don Genders from Design for Leisure. Good evening to you. Good morning over here in Arizona, Don.
Yeah. Hi, Alan. How are you? Good to talk to you again.
Good. Before we started on the air, we were talking about tea time. And even though it's 9 a.m. here, it sounds like I had coffee, but I think I'm ready for tea at this point as well.
Oh, there you go. You see, we start our day with tea over here.
So. I know you guys do from my perspective, but we grew up on coffee, but it's interesting. My wife starts with tea, then goes to coffee. I start with coffee and then go to tea. So apparently there's no right or wrong. Huh?
Yeah, I don't think there is. It's whatever takes your fancy. I mean, I'm a tea first, coffee after man. Yeah. So.
Good. Well, you know, we started talking about how I've said this a million times, 2020 is sort of going to get written out of the history books, but there's a lot to be learned, right? There's lemons to lemonade. There's things that have happened that year that we can go back in history and get a perspective on, just like you were describing about Prohibition, correct?
Well, yes. I mean, it was just this whole sort of, the world is at fear, to my way of thinking, of becoming obsessed with this new normal. And you know, everybody's frightened to go ahead. Everyone's frightened to make decisions as to what they're going to do. What will the new normal be? I don't believe there will be a new normal. And I was trying to put it into perspective when we were chatting earlier about you know, the fact that America had prohibition. I mean, for almost 14 years, I think it was 2 months short of 14 years. But there was no new normal after prohibition was lifted, and the act was appealed and repealed. But everything just went back to normal. Now, I mean, that was 14 years. I mean, we've had, you know, barely a year of it. Yeah, we probably will have a year of it. But I don't think it's going to be life-changing.
I have to tell you, Don, that, okay, a few things you just said. You're right. There's no new normal. There's no box. People used to say outside the box. There's no box. I mean, everything is open to a new interpretation. I think this is so endemic of the, not that word's too close to pandemic, but I'll use it anyways. When we had prohibition for 14 years and people patiently waited through the process until they said, okay, enough is enough. We've been at this, 6 or 7 months now? And people have said enough is enough. People don't sit still and put up with what doesn't work in their personal fast Twitter world today.
Well, yeah, exactly. But I mean, I think, look, I think that, I'm sorry, but the numbers seem to be, you know, they're using the numbers. Every country in the world is using the numbers. That's what they're preaching at us. You know, this is what the numbers say. It's what the science tells us. But the numbers are telling us not quite the same as the messages we seem to be getting across as well. I mean, yeah, the infections are rising, but so is testing. So yeah, you're bound to get this, you know, people who've been having, you know, they've been saying it all along that there are people sort of under 40, you'll get it and don't even know they got it.
Yeah.
Don, yeah, but the testing picks them up now.
Yeah. There's I'm going to paraphrase because I'm probably not going to get it right, but there's an old expression that's something that says numbers can figure, but numbers can figure, but liars can figure something. I don't remember what it is. People can twist these numbers into being that they want.
Look, it's just, you know, the same set of statistics, you know, can be used by, are available to two different political parties, and yet they interpret them in entirely different ways, you know. I mean, it's, you can always turn the numbers on their head, you know, and it's, the cases are rising, but the deaths don't seem to be going up anywhere near as fast. And, I mean, is this going to be something that we just all live with? You know, there is a nasty flu strain about, and, you know, hey, look, you know, you get it, you don't. But
well, over here, the conversation now as well, the flu's coming, the regular flu.
Yeah, that's it, yep.
We forget how many people die every year just from getting the flu. right? But we've accepted it along the way. The difference is this one comes in the time of politics, and so it gets treated completely different. I'm not a fan of flu shots, by the way. Kathy and I never got flu shots until 4 years ago when we both got so sick. And of course, I'm in my early 60s now, and I go, okay, now I'm getting a flu shot, and I haven't been sick again since I started getting the flu shot. So we're a couple weeks from going down to the Walgreens to get our flu shot.
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned that, you know, that, I mean, I'm 66 very soon, and I've never had a flu shot. But Bobby, my wife is chasing me off this year. Is it like, you got to go and get one. You got to get one, you know? So maybe it's the first time for everything.
That means she gets one right every year.
No, she's never had one either.
Oh, but now she's chasing both of you to get one.
Well, no, just chasing me at the moment. You know, it's a case of, you know, if you do as I say, not do as I do, you know? And,
well, I have to tell you, I think for, look at, this has been horrible for millions of people across the globe. I mean, it's, if you're on the downside of this, if you're in the hospitality business, and we both are, there has been a radical change. As you know, MGM, Hyatt, Hilton, all the big operators have not furloughed. Well, they furloughed, but they've also fired tens of thousands of people. And it hurts me that it hurts them. But we all, when these things happen, we lose good people out of our industry as well. And I always think that's a painful part of having these problems.
Well, yeah, I think the saddest thing as well is young people, you know, because, you know, they're invariably the sort of, you know, the ones that are first in the firing line, you know, because it's, you know, the last in, first out type attitudes that you know, HR departments take. And I can understand that. But obviously by nature of age, it is so often that, you know, the young people are the last in, so they'll be the first out. And it's so demotivating for them, you know, and they're going to struggle like crazy to get hired, because when places do start hiring again, they're going to go for experience. And there's going to be a huge pile of experienced people out there looking for work.
So Don, I had to start a Word document to track all of the people who reach out to our association that either A, say, I'm on furlough, but I'm looking, or I've been fired and I'm looking, or I'm still employed, but I'm looking. Yep. So I've got to keep a pretty strong list, it's been, always seems in the 33 years I've been in our channel, people move around a lot, but nobody looks at it as a negative. It's just that people move in our business. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, tell us what, I mean, I know what your company does, but tell me what design, tell our listeners, what does Design for Leisure do? How did you start it? You're on the other side of the pond, but I know you've got Matt and a team over here. Just give us a macro overview of Design for Leisure.
Yeah, sure. We started in the building fit out business, as general contractors, but specializing in fit out. 35 years ago, nearly 40 years ago. And then about 30 years ago, we became quite involved in fitting out fitness clubs. There was a huge fitness boom, you know, the end of the 80s, early 90s here in the UK. And then they started competing on the what we now call the wellness side or the spa side. And we started, you know, looking for better and better products to furnish them with and satisfy the needs of this massively growing industry. Sorry about that.
Nah, we don't worry about it. Go ahead.
Okay. Gradually, we became very, very involved in the wet side of the industry, saunas, steam rooms, pools, and to be honest with you, Alan, it was just a case that I really enjoyed that element of the industry, and so for the last 25 years, that is all we've done is just worked in wet spa areas, saunas, steam rooms, ice rooms, snow rooms. Hot pools, cold pools, fizzy pools. And so, you know, and then we were very fortunate in 2003 when Canyon Ranch approached us, having researched, you know, companies who specialized in what we did, the vast majority based in Europe. And Canyon Ranch were looking for somebody who spoke English, who did what we do.
It's a different English, but you still speak it.
Well, it was certainly a bit closer to them than French, German, you know, Spanish or whatever. So. But so they found us, or they found me, and we got on well, and they gave us a huge amount of support and some fantastic assurances on, you know, the natural fear of a relatively small company, you know, trying to break into America. I mean, you know, far bigger companies have become casualties of trying to break into America, and you know, I mean, you know, one thing going wrong would have, you know, put us out of business overnight. But Canyon Ranch were fantastic. They held a hand. They helped us and supported us, and helped us, you know, with the learning of the codes in the States. And then that was really the beginning. By 2007, we'd opened an office. My partner had joined me, who is an American, and Matthew now runs that whole operation in the States from a commercial point of view and an operational side. But we still do all the design work here in the UK because we design with European products.
I love it. You know, people forget that what we call spa, wealth, beauty, healthiness, whatever. I mean, Europe and a lot of the world has been doing this as a matter of course since time immemorial, right? And over here, people used to look at it different, like a luxury. I can tell you, for me, Don, for a lot of my friends, getting wellness in whatever form it is, it's a matter of course in my life now. I just can't even imagine that I didn't do this before I was 20 years old. I happened to learn early. Yep. But now, to me, going to the spa, taking the water, sitting in the sauna, getting a salt room treatment, it's my way of staying healthy. But the first thing you said, you said something to the effect that you found something you love. And I think that's so critical that people understand being in our business, people are in it as a labor of love because they just love being in the wellness channel.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And it's, you know, I'm just terribly lucky, as are anybody else who finds himself in the position of you know, being able to build a business, make a career, and build your whole life around something that you absolutely love doing. I mean, I don't ever remember, you know, getting up and not feeling like going to work.
Yeah, I love that because that's been me a long time. In fact, I have friends who say they want to come back as me because they don't think that I've actually worked for a living.
Yep. Yeah, no, I understand that. I completely understand that. And I mean, you know, look, you know, at our ages, and I'm sure, you know, people, you know, ask you the same thing and say, well, hey, look, you know, oh, wow, you know, when are you going to retire? You know, and it's just not on my radar.
Wait, Don, you know what I tell people who say that? I am retired. This is what I'm doing in retirement.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Well, it's, you know, I mean, hell, I work on some of the most beautiful properties in the world. I go to some of the most beautiful countries in the world. I travel, I get around, I see what's going on. I'm learning something new every day because every job is, every project is a challenge. And I can't see anything more rewarding than that.
I love it. Hey, by the way, I know you love Canyon Ranch. Let's do a quick shout out to our friend Deirdre Strunk. She's in Vegas. I haven't seen her in forever. We try and have dinner when I'm up there, but nobody's traveling, so it's only been virtual hugs. But I love a lot about the Canyon Ranch team as well.
Yeah, no, they were good. I mean, obviously they've been quiet the last few years. We've done very little with them in the last 5 years or so. But they were a great client, and we still support. Yeah, you know, we still support the projects we built for them now, even today, you know, so it's a long-term relationship.
Let me ask you, in the time of Corona, what's changing in how are spas going to manage wet rooms and hot tubs and saunas and stuff? What does the go forward look like?
Well, I think the fact is that you can't dramatically change these functions or features. You know, you can't make, enormous rooms to give people more space, because it's just the whole running costs of massive saunas or steam rooms for only a handful of people just makes them just financially unviable. But I think that it's the use of different cleaning techniques or different cleaning methods. I mean, in saunas, we're very lucky. I mean, once you get over that 140 degree Fahrenheit temperature, then the virus can't survive anyway. So, if you like, a sauna is almost self-sanitizing.
Right.
In that, you know, even if somebody coughs in the sauna, then, you know, the virus is almost eradicated immediately, even if they're carrying it. In steam rooms, we have not the high temperature, so we don't get that natural sanitizing. But of course, nothing travels far in the heavy humid air in a steam room. But the fact is, look, it's keeping everywhere clean, and it's the doing everything that people have always done. I.e., they have always done they've got their cleaning protocols. Well, they're just doing them better, just doing them more, frequently. But yeah. I think one of the most exciting things I've just come across, and it was a global wellness initiative call only last week on the use of UVC light.
Okay, I don't know what that is. Is it the blue light we're talking about?
It's blue light. Now, I mean, UVC light as a sanitizer has been known about for a very, very long time. But UV light as a sanitizer, you cannot expose yourself. You cannot expose people to it. You can't expose the eyes to it. You can't expose the skin to it. So, yeah, and there's a lot of it's being used quite extensively in the world now today, but in a closed room situation, hotels are using it. They're putting a UV light in a hotel room to sanitize it and say, well, this room's been UV sanitized. But this company called HealthLight, an American company, have found a frequency of UV where it is not damaging to the eyes or skin. So the UV light at a certain frequency can be used in an occupied room or an occupied space. Health light. And it's health with an E, healthy light, but it's HEALTHE light, LIGH. Yeah.
We'll have to look them up. Don, there's going to still be more and more things coming out. This is the nature of these kind of disasters, lemon to lemonade, right? Good things come out of this. Smart ideas, people come up with things, and I'm looking forward to getting past it. I know you are as well, and I'm so glad we had a chance to talk today.
Yeah.
Well, what's the best way for it? Should people go to designforleisure.com? Is that the best way to reach you guys?
That you can find us through that straight away, because there's a little thing on the site. You can say, hey, here's me. You know, give me a call.
I love it, yeah. Don. I always love talking to you. I always learn stuff, and I'm looking forward to the day we can do this in person over a gin cocktail, okay?
That sounds like a good idea, Alan.
Don, thank you again, everybody.
Thank you.
Design for Leisure, Don Genders. And remember, people, please be kind to each other.